service members are trained to fight and win the nation's wars. They receive a steady paycheck, but many have trouble paying their bills. A new report by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority reveals hundreds of thousands of service members are having trouble properly maintaining and planning their financial futures while meeting their current obligations. Jerry Walsh is the president of FINRA Foundation. She joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so give us an overview of the report that you just came out with. What did you find, basically? Are service members mostly going broke, or is it a little, maybe not so bad?
There's a lot better news than that. We saw a mixed picture. The survey portrayed a military population that, in the aggregate, is relatively strong with respect to financial capability when you compare them with national norms. When you take a look at males 18 to 35 in the civilian sector and in the military sector, there are a lot of ways in which military service members are actually handling their money better.
And why is that? How is that, do you suppose?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the steady paycheck. So having a steady paycheck means that things like feeling good about your finances where you are and being able to make ends meet from month to month is definitely a hurdle that you're able to overcome, because a lot of males who are 18 to 35 in the civilian sector don't have jobs, and so they're stressed about their finances. But there were a couple areas where we saw some strain, and debt and mortgages in particular were high on that list.
So tell us more about that. How does that work? Because I would think that military members between 18 and 35 would be unlikely to have a mortgage, especially if they're new into the military.
Well, when they're brand new, that's absolutely true. But as you get promoted and start moving up the career ladder, you know, from 21 to 35, that's a pretty long career. So you're at that mid-career level when you hit 35. And people, you know, as they get promoted, buy a house. There's a culture of home ownership in the military that others have spotted, and we certainly see it true, because males 18 to 35 on the civilian side are far less likely to have a mortgage than their military counterparts. 36% plus on the military side, and only about a quarter of males 18 to 35 on the civilian side.
Now, we've talked about males 18 to 35. What about females? Did the study look at them too?
We did. And you can slice and dice all the data on a variety of demographic variables. But one of the things that's kind of tricky when you're comparing military respondents to the national state-by-state respondents that we had, because the military survey was connected to a larger national survey of more than 25,000 U.S. adults. But when you look at the demographics of the military, it's dominated by males, and it's dominated by younger males. So to make sure that the comparisons were apples to apples, we decided to take a look, for comparison purposes only, at that male 18 to 35. But throughout the military, you can absolutely slice and dice by gender.
Now, if you look at males 18 to 35 in the private sector who are employed versus military members 18 to 35, how does that stack up, apples to apples?
That's a good research question, because we didn't do that regression with all those different variables, but that would be a good one to take a look at, because we do see that having a job, you know, just not surprisingly at all, gets you in a better place financially. And, of course, as we talked about, the folks who are in the military do have a steady paycheck. Although we looked at Guard and Reserve, activated, non-activated, so we had, you know, there are people that are in the survey that are non-activated reservists who might not have a civilian job. And so they're part of the study as well. So, again, you can slice and dice through all those different demographic variables and take a look. It was really important to DOD that we look at not only the active component but also the non-activated component. And so we worked with DOD and also with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's Office of Service Member Affairs in crafting the survey.
We're speaking with Jerry Walsh. She is president of the FINRA Foundation. And just briefly tell us what the foundation does as something separate from FINRA itself.
Yes, we're a separate not-for-profit foundation, and we aim to give all Americans, especially underserved Americans, the tools and resources they need to manage their money confidently. So we give grants and we do research and we also run directed programs. And one of our longest standing directed programs is our Military Financial Readiness Project in partnership with DOD.
And one of the findings in the study is that half of the credit card holders, 49%, engage in costly behaviors such as paying only the minimum amount due, paying late fees, and so on. What did you learn there?
Well, that is one of the indicators of behavior. The study looked not only at knowledge and beliefs or attitudes, but also behavior. And so there can be a disconnect sometimes between people when they believe they're handling their money pretty well, as the military does, and yet half of them are carrying balances, which is not an indicator of a sound financial strategy. So that's an important thing for people to focus on and try to improve on. You know, the auto loans was an interesting one, too, for the military, because 63% of young military males have an auto loan. 63. That's almost 2 out of 3.
And so they're probably, it sounds like, the implication is they're spending more than they should on that automobile.
Spending more than they should on that particular automobile, but also just racking up a series of debt, because that same cohort has higher credit card balances they carry over, and they're more likely to have student loans. So, I mean, different kinds of debt rack up and can create some stress. One of the things that we saw across both surveys, all ages, all incomes, is that American adults feel like they've got too much debt and they need to get it under control.
I guess the bigger question here is, I mean, I would guess that we're 40 years into the credit card revolution. By that, I mean everybody having a credit card. I mean, 40 years ago, not everybody did. People wrote checks, you know, from store to store to a much greater degree than they do now, if they do at all. And so here we are almost two generations since, you know, Bank AmeriCard and so forth became, you know, these are in everybody's wallets, except, you know, maybe we had gas cards, but that was about it. Why have – it sounds like the nation has not really learned to deal with it yet as a populace.
Credit didn't used to be so easy to get, because having the credit card was one thing, but the amount that you could charge, the amount that you could borrow used to be a lot lower, even if you did qualify for the card. So we saw, moving into the 90s and the 2000s, a loosening of credit standards so that more people had more credit available to them. And for some people, having any credit available to them, it's money burning a hole in their pockets. Like, I've got a limit of $5,000. I can buy this flat-screen TV. Even if you had to pay cash, you wouldn't be able to pay for it.
So what does FINRA recommend for service members that might be kind of in a hole this way? What can they do to try to get some of that short-term debt out of the way?
We've got some debt management tools on our website. We also encourage people, if they're active duty, to go to the relief societies that are affiliated with their service, their branch of service, and talk to the PFMs, the personal financial managers, that are on every installation, because the services and DOD have resources for service members to take advantage of. And you can link to all of them through saveandinvest.org, which is our website. We link to Military OneSource. We link to the relief societies. But the best thing that you can do is take a cold, hard look at your personal balance sheet. What's coming in the door? What's your income? And what's going out the door? What are your expenses? And then make a match. And that's hard. It requires hard choices. But sometimes you start to see that the things you think you need are, in fact, things that you merely want and maybe can wait a little bit longer for.
And is there evidence that the military does a pretty good job of training recruits or people that join, say, that may not have that much experience in life, let alone finance in the military? And of course, they get a lot of training militarily. Does the services provide training on managing finances at all? And is that something maybe they could add?
They do. They do. And it's something that we're seeing may well have an impact, because it is curious that younger younger males are doing so much better in the military compared with the civilian population. And there's also been other evidence done by researchers who've taken a look at mandatory personal finance classes at enlistment. So it is something that the military cares deeply about and is focused on, and there's always going to be people who make mistakes, regardless how many classes you give them. But a number of the people in our survey, a strong number, said that they attended this kind of class and they remembered attending this kind of class, and that's pretty heartening.
And so the report is out now from FINRA Foundation. Who is it aimed at, and what do you hope people do with it?
That policymakers will slice and dice the data to see what areas need to be improved upon. We and our nonprofit service provider colleagues are all looking at it to see which areas we need to focus on. We were aware that auto loans and auto buying were a big issue in the military. We weren't aware that the housing issue and the feeling of being underwater in your home was quite so stark in the military. So that's another area that we'll be looking at. It gives us a roadmap for where we need to focus on when it comes to personal finance topics.
All right. Jerry Walsh is the president of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority Foundation. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.